Bill Spadia is compensated for commercial and nonprofit appearances. The opinion of the hosts, callers, and guests on this program are not those of New Jersey 101.5, Town Square Media, or station advertisers.
Ten on New Jersey 101.5. Good morning. I am Bill Spady. I want to thank the Parks Casino for sponsoring New Jersey Chime Time every morning, every hour on the show. I am back, as the song says, and I will be out for the next almost week. Today's my last show until Wednesday of next week. Wow, Eric,
that's a week off.
That's a week off. Yeah, it's weird doing it Wednesday to Wednesday.
Right.
Right, and technically it's 6 days, right? So I'm Thursday to Tuesday off. But two things: one, interesting, you reported on, and I was following the race very heavily, was very writing about it, talking about this whole Tom Massey thing in Kentucky. A lot of the Trump supporters, the MAGA world, celebrated like, oh, we got rid of the thorn.
Yep.
Here's what they're missing, and I wrote about this, and I thankfully wrote this article before the results, because my message to the Republicans was, this is a disaster for you that you don't see coming. Because if you look at the exit polls and you look at the way Massey performed under 35 and under, he was polling 72-16.
Mm-hmm.
He won every demographic except for 65 and older, where Gowring beat him by more than 2-1. So the challenge for the Republican Party now is, you've completely lost young voters. And I think that, and even if, I don't know if you watched his speech, maybe you'd gone to bed already, but he gave a fiery speech last night, Massey, and I don't think he's gone away quietly. But he said in the open, he said he tried to call his opponent, but it took a long time for the call to get through to Tel Aviv. Unbelievable. I couldn't believe he said it. And it was a mess. Now, of course, right away, the MAGA folks are like, oh, he is anti-Semitic. No, this was a message about AIPAC and about not supporting the war. And you cannot have a dissenting opinion now, because Trump will come down on you like a ton of bricks. And I think this is a, because you and I have talked about this for years, that the Republican Party in New Jersey barely appeals to anybody.
Yeah.
Now that you've got this shift, young people simply don't support the endless wars. And young support for Israel is waning. I don't know what the polls look like specifically in Jersey on that, but my guess is it's going to reflect nationally, that you get those under 35, under 45 voters, and they're done. So I don't know. I don't know what's next for the party. They're in trouble, though.
Well, I mean, look, they're suffering from some of the same things that the Republican Party in New Jersey is suffering from. And I don't know what that means. But I think I think in the next couple of years, you and I've talked about this before, I think in the next couple of years, you're gonna see a hard reset, probably, of both parties. And the more interesting thing, I mean, you have the traditional Republican and the MAGA Republicans, and they're squabbling back and forth. But the more interesting fight is going to be, I think, in the Democratic Party, certainly in New Jersey, between your traditional Democrat and your socialists. And you know, that's going to be, that has the potential to tear the Democratic Party apart, I think, more than what's happening in the Republican Party now.
Well, it's interesting, but I think that, again, on the Democratic side, the Democrats were unified for decades. I mean, really, in New Jersey, going back to 1993, when they had to lick their wounds and say, okay, we got clobbered, we got beat, they beat our guy, and they rebuilt from the ground up. And I think what I'm finding locally is that these issues aren't as important. You know, when you look at a school board race, you look at a mayoral contest, it really is about housing, it's about energy, it's about infrastructure, having qualified people to run the DPW, I mean, all your police force, all those local important issues. I think you're spot on that that is exactly what's happening in the Democrat Party. I just don't know that that rift destroys them. I think the MAGA versus every other Republican will destroy the party. But I think the Democrats are now recognizing they're run by socialists. And I was interesting. One of the most important posts last night was from Gavin Newsom. Gavin Newsom took to Twitter and said that he just reflected. He said, you know, pretty interesting that the Republican Party wrecked the only guy that had the guts to stand up to Trump on the Epstein files. And, you know, that is, I'm telling you, there are a lot of young Republicans that are going to get behind a guy like Newsom when he runs for president. And it's because you're not offering anything else. And we'll see. We'll see. Unless a Ron DeSantis can do it. I think Ron DeSantis may be the only candidate that could bring young people back in because he's been so effective as a leader. But we'll see. I think you're right, though. I think the Steve Sweeney party on the Democrat side,
yeah,
it's the past.
It is the past. And I don't, it's going to be a fight in New Jersey. Those are going to be your two political parties. Republicans are so far in the minority, and they will go deeper into the minority.
I think they lose more seats in 27. You agree?
Yeah, absolutely. And then you're going to have, I mean, you may be down to one Republican in the congressional delegation in New Jersey.
Well,
and then
this race is a potential tsunami against the Republicans because losing Massey the way it happened. Now, what is the message to anybody that dares disagree or, God forbid, questions Donald Trump on anything? Look at Mike Lawler. He's going out and had a campaign for Lawler. Lawler is one of the guys that did oppose Trump, but a lot of us called it out saying, I think it's controlled opposition. And now Trump is rewarding Lawler for doing his job. But I think he loses his seat in New York. I think the Republicans have snatched defeat out of the jaws of victory. The Supreme Court gave him an opportunity to keep the majority, and because of Donald Trump, they're going to blow it. It's amazing.
I don't see it going any other way.
Yeah, I think they're going to lose a majority by 5 to 10 seats. All right, Lewis, you'll be first. You're angry at me. Okay, good. We're going to start the morning off right. 6:16, fast traffic, instant weather next.
Open phones, real opinions. This is New Jersey's Conversation. Call 800-283-1015 or connect with us on the New Jersey 101.5 app.
6:23 on New Jersey 101.5. Good morning. I am Bill Spadia with you till 10 o'clock this morning. Talking Jersey, taking your calls, 1-800-283-101.5. Hey, I want to ask you if you witnessed any of this stuff. I don't know, Jill, you saw this thing in Long Branch.
You know, I was seeing it on social media, I thought, they're just pulling up stuff from, because this happens a lot of times on social media.
Yeah.
They'll pull up stuff that happened a year or two ago.
Right.
And you're like, oh, come on, why are we doing this? But then I saw this morning.
Happened last night?
No.
Yeah. So this is, Petro in North New Brunswick was on the train. He writes on the app chat, I was on that train last night from Newark. Mm-hmm. They had all the rowdy teens ending up in Long Branch. They got in the train in Newark. Most of them had beer, smoking pot, and didn't pay for a ticket.
Just walked on
the train.
Wow.
This has been the issue that I've had conversations with Chris Calori about and others when I was running.
Yeah.
We have an open system, and it's a huge problem. You need to gate NJ Transit. You should not be able to get on that train without buying a ticket first that would allow you onto the platform.
My nephew goes through it with Amtrak, and he had to deal with a person. You know, you're on an Amtrak train.
You're putting the burden now on the staff.
Yes, and the stops are, you know, like with Amtrak.
Then you got to get the police involved. And you tell me any NJ Transit guy that's going to go confront 40 rowdy teens smoking pot, drinking beer.
Right?
No way.
No way.
They're not paying them enough to deal with that crap.
No. But the thing that cracks me up intrigued about is Wildwood and Seaside just prevented especially Wildwood, a pop-up party because they found it on social media.
Yep.
So, you know, even though these other towns are able to snag
it
right away.
What do you do if 40 kids in Newark say, let's get on the train and let's just go to Long Branch?
Right. Exactly.
They don't even necessarily have to put it on social media.
No, and Snapchat, yeah. The way kids communicate on Snapchat, it's mind-blowing.
Yeah, so this is a dangerous trend, guys, and I think the only solution, you need to change the way you need a long-term solution for this. Number one, we have to empower law enforcement better. We have to get involved in social media is public, and it needs to be treated like a public domain.
Absolutely.
And if you're posting
things,
not to inhibit free speech, we went through that during COVID, but to find out if people are planning nefarious activities, because you can't have a place that's kid friendly like Pier Village overrun by a bunch of punks who are drinking and smoking pot and getting into fights. This is why we can't have nice things.
And one of our bosses lives in that area, by the way. I was looking for him in the video.
See if he's out there.
I think he was involved.
You never know. So were you on the train last night, or were you at Pier Village? Did you see this? And hey, I'm seeing a little bit of hate on social media. On my app chat about my comments about President Trump and Tom Massey. Guys, before you hate, read the article I wrote yesterday. We just alerted it out on the app. If you're on the app, check out that alert. Click on the article and read it. This is not about hating or loving President Trump. This is observing with the understanding of what's happening. And what's happening right now is the Republican Party nationally, and certainly in New Jersey, has zero appeal to anyone under the age of 45. And part of that is a failure of communication. Part of that is a failure of grabbing on to principles and a failure to tolerate conversations and dissent. What President Trump did with his buddies at AIPAC in Kentucky was nothing short of shutting down debate in the name of Trump, not for an issue, not for an idea. It was all about the president's ego. And, he expects blind allegiance. And you know what? He's giving credibility to the left when they say no kings, because he's acting terribly right now. Hopefully it can be changed before the midterms, but confidence is not high. 1-800-283-101.5 is the number. 627 is the time. Eric Scott with the news next. Six 6:38 on New Jersey 101.5. Good morning. I am Bill Spadia with you till 10 o'clock this morning, talking Jersey. Taking your calls, 1-800-283-101.5. Eric, do you see Chris the Trucker's note on the app chat? Is that some code? Am I missing something?
Let's see here.
Something about a rabbit trail? What does that mean?
Rabbit trail.
Two nuns.
Two nuns on 87S Forester.
Is that Subaru Forester? Is he talking about, what is, Jill, do you know what that means? Two nuns. What? Yeah, I mean, yesterday we were talking about the Subarus.
Can you read this again?
All right, it says Rabbit Trail, two nuns on 87S Forester. 87
South. So it's probably on an 87 Forester. This is their license plate, maybe?
No, I think this S Forester is probably Subaru, but it could be Route 87. I don't think so.
Nuns are,
is that what he's assuming? Well, we were talking. I mean, full disclosure, there was the Subaru executives targeted the lesbian market.
And
who knew that was a market, first of all?
Yeah, and it's a lesbian-sanctioned
Lesbian-sanctioned brand, right?
Yeah, but lesbians also.
But what is Rabbit Trail Two Nuns? What does that mean?
Is rabbit slang for something?
I don't know. I was almost hesitant to read it out loud.
I was hesitant to read it as well. Like,
Is he disparaging nuns? Is that what he's doing?
I don't know.
All right, so do me a favor, Chris the Trucker. Expand on your note on the app chat. Apparently, I'm not smart enough to understand it. It's interesting. We were talking earlier, Eric and I, about the split in the Democratic Party and in the Republican Party. What is most significant is, I don't know if you saw any of the video from last night, the Ed Gowrain, who was endorsed by President Trump and really came out of nowhere. I mean, a few months ago, that was, he did one of those, the president asked me to pray on it, so I prayed on it, and here I am, and, saving the world. Funny, margin of victory was about 8,000 votes, and he won significantly on mail-in ballots. the same mail-in votes that President Trump wants to end. Just interesting. Just so we're all clear, I don't believe there were any shenanigans on that. I think this was a clear case of old Republicans will do whatever Donald Trump tells them to do. And young what don't you think, Eric? Yeah. I'm not even saying that to disparage anybody. I am observing without judgment on that. Older Republicans, meaning 65 and older, are glued to Fox. If Trump says it, it must be true. Now, it's funny because Eddie Kay is getting close to joining the hater meter in Manasquan. He's like, your hatred for President Trump is showing more each day. Now, Eric, you've been listening to me talk for many years.
Yeah.
I don't hate President Trump. I actually have had him on the radio, supported him. Even after he endorsed my opponent, I said I still support him, still support his mission. But I am having a hard time. And I don't know, Eric, maybe you're hearing this from Republicans, too. Not the Bramniks who hate Trump. Like, he has a visceral hatred of him. I don't quite understand it, to be honest. But the moderate Republicans out there, the normal guys that are just thinking, hey, I want to be able to make ends meet. I want my costs to go down. I want the Republicans to lower taxes. I don't like this whole transing of the kids thing, all that weird stuff. The normal Republicans are now starting to look and say, well, how did the guy campaign on ending all the wars? And financially speaking, at least, we're embroiled in three. If you look at Gaza, Ukraine, and Iran. And then you think about the border. Trump was about, if you remember his campaign, one of the reasons that I supported him is he was going to deport all the illegals. And then he's like, well, we're going to make an exception for the farmers. Well, we're going to make an exception for IT workers, and if you haven't committed a crime, and all that, and it goes, and the list goes on, and I get why young people are a little disillusioned with politics.
Well, I also think it's part of the president's negotiating style. So yeah. I think he comes out and makes these, blanket strong statements of I'm going to do this to generate headlines, and then backs off on that, so it makes it look like it's not as draconian as his original statement.
Right. Yeah, it's interesting. But it's, what's interesting is the disconnect. Like Speaker Mike Johnson, according to Matt in Sayreville, said he heard that Johnson was talking about how the salaries in Congress don't keep up with inflation, so the stock trading has to take place. And he's right. Matt, you're right. That people, the average person out there is not making as much as members of Congress. So, you might say, wow, $160,000 is not enough money to keep up with inflation. But wait a minute. How many people in New Jersey are making that money? Maybe combined. But, what is your average teacher salary? $75,000? $80,000? I mean, you're and how do these members of Congress end up getting rich? Look at, I don't know what the number is. I saw it come across today. Maybe you know. The president's son, Don Jr., his capital firm, his investment firm, went from $200 million in capital. I think now they've now launched north of $2.5 billion.
Yeah. Well, look at the disclosures of what Trump has done in terms of his buy and sell orders. There were thousands that in companies that were directly impacted by his policies.
Yeah. And, and for the record, because I'm being slammed on social media, as you know, with the hater meter coming up, it's worth noting that we did not ask the president for an endorsement. We asked the White House to stay out of the race in 25 and literally went to Washington to make that request. And it even after it didn't work out and he got involved with my opponent, I not only didn't trash the guy, but I, like many members of Congress, just started questioning some of the policy issues. And I think that if you don't question your leadership, then you're basically doomed to the one man who will make a decision right or wrong, and you got to follow him right or wrong. So this blind faith is something that is unsettling to me. And I think to most young people who are, naturally going to question those in power. And we've lost that.
Yeah, I would tend to agree with that. Yeah.
So what do you think is next? I think we'll definitely have to bet on it. The number of losses in 26 in the midterms. Or maybe we'll bet on the gap. Right now, what are the Republicans up? Four seats? What's the majority? Yeah. Four or five?
Yeah.
I think it's going to flip, meaning there'll be five down. I don't think it'll be a wipeout because
I don't think it'll be a wipeout,
did.
But I think you, I don't think you'll get into double digits, but maybe we set the over under at, well, maybe we
how
set
many
the over
seats
under
they lose?
At, yeah. Yeah. So maybe we set the over under at five or six. I could see it going as high as nine. I don't think it'll hit 10.
I don't either, because you're going to gain four seats in Florida. You're going to gain a couple in Louisiana. You're going to gain in Alabama, all the places that redistrict.
Yeah.
But I do want to ask you, maybe after 7 o'clock, how they're going to redistrict Chris Smith out of a job. Because that's the latest map, right? That's what they want to do.
That's what, and Cheryl has come right out and said that's what they want to do.
Can they do it before the 2030 census? I don't think they can without changing the Constitution. Can they?
Potentially.
Really? Before the census?
Potentially, yeah.
Wow.
I mean, that's one of the, I mean, look, you got that going on. I mean, it's, you technically wouldn't lose a seat. You would simply redraw boundaries that would put Smith and Van Drew in the same district.
Wow, amazing. So, guys, we're in trouble. If you're a moderate Republican, you need to be paying attention. If you're a conservative Republican, you need to be calling 911 because the party is in trouble. 1-800-283-101.5. My question to you, New Jersey, is are you done with Trump, or do you think there's a way to save this? 647, Fast Traffic, Instant Weather next.
From the shore to your street, we're talking about what matters to you. New Jersey 101.5.
654 on New Jersey 101.5. Good morning. I am Bill Spadia. Let's jump right back in. So I think last night's win for Gallrain over Massey shows the Republican Party just completely disconnected from young people. And it's funny, I got a tweet from Blondie on X, Roseanne, who said, I was just listening to you. You are very wrong. I had to turn you off. You're wrong about young people. They're socialists and will vote Dem. And the Charlie Kirk movement is getting bigger. And can't understand why I supported Tom Massey. Well, Roseanne, Charlie Kirk called Tom Massey his favorite member of Congress. This was a Donald Trump slap in the face to anybody under the age of 35, and you could see it in the results. They went for Massey 3-4-1. It's all the 65 and older boomers that will do whatever Trump tells them to do. And, you know, people are like, no, it's MAGA. We're here to stay. Guys, don't forget, it's the president has walked back on a lot of what he promised. He kept the 500,000 Chinese students. He defends the Chinese owning land outside of our military bases. He wants amnesty as a result of, as is indicated by his active support for Mike Lawler, the congressman on Long Island, who's going to lose anyway. So, you know, guys, you got to wake up. Georgette and Wayne, you got about a minute. What's going on, Georgette? How you doing?
Hi. I'm one of those people. I'm not glued to Fox. I am over 65. I watch the podcast. They show a little bit of CNN, and they show what Fox is saying, and I can balance it out. I'm not MAGA, but I think if he's changing on anything, it's because, Bill, when you get up in the morning, you never have to worry that somebody's going to poison your lunch. I don't know if you put lunch in your refrigerator you don't have to worry that somebody's going to poison or try to shoot you. This man gets up every day, and I give him the respect that the mess we're in. He has to look under every rock and stone for these criminals because no one was giving him support. Nobody backed other prior presidents that allowed this to happen. They allowed the border open. Where were the Republicans? Republicans bash the Democrats. My question to them, I say, where were the Republicans when that border was wide open?
Well,
I can't blame them if he changes his stance.
Yeah, but
you have
but
to back them to a point.
The problem is, Georgette, that this issue on China is very, very dangerous for the future. The idea that he campaigned on no new wars, and all of a sudden now we're embroiled in a war that has spiked the cost of gas. The Republicans are not.
Is it new, Bill?
What do you mean? Is it new?
A new war?
In Iran? Yes, it's a brand new war that Trump started. Yes, absolutely.
Trump started Iran. Obama giving him money. giving them money.
No, Trump started this current war, Georgette. Like that, we were not at war, and then we were at war.
Everyone, is that worse than what happened in Afghanistan?
I'm not even arguing the point. What I'm saying, Georgette, is because of that, young people are being turned off. And when Donald Trump uses the weight that he's got and the power with his allies in AIPAC and spend tens of millions of dollars to destroy a guy whose only crime in the MAGA world is he wanted the full release of the Epstein files. Honestly, without Tom Massey, we may have never seen the release of the Epstein files.
Bill, can I tell you why you're getting that hate things? Because you annoy me, but I don't hate you, and I respect your opinion.
Yeah.
It's that you sound so anti- It's like a new war.
No. But Georgette, even when I was
banked on that.
But listen, even when I was
going into Iran.
Georgette, but even when I was campaigning for Donald Trump, I was critical of the things he did wrong in the first term. Matter of fact, I wrote an article saying the three reasons the Trump presidency failed as a message, which I then relayed directly to the president when I spoke to him of the things he needed to do different in his second term. Unfortunately, he's doing a lot of them, which I wrote about yesterday, but he's not closing the deal, and that's turning young people off to the Republican Party. So, Georgette, it is just a reality that young people went for Massey, old voters went for Gallrain. The dividing line is support of foreign nations and billions of dollars overseas.
Bill, can I answer
and a lack of attention to affordability. 10 seconds, go. Last word.
All right. What? We don't know what goes on in D.C. We don't know how much control he has. So he may go in with one idea, and then he finds out he can't do it. It's not that people control him. There's things out of control.
I agree with you. I don't think people are controlling him. No. I put this squarely on the president. I think he is a leader, and I blame him for the bad decisions, not the people around him. Thanks, Georgette. Appreciate you. 6:59. Eric Scott with the news next.
Yo, what's up, New Jersey?
Looking for something that's so Jersey? Tune in to Jersey Thing with Eric Scott. Weeknights at 6 on New Jersey 101.5. Presented by RWJ Barnabas Health and supported by Parks Casino and Earth Treasures Jewelers. Eric has fun diving into what makes Jersey tick. From the lighthearted quirks we love to the important issues that matter most. Join the conversation at 6 p.m. and watch anytime on YouTube. Jersey Thing with Eric Scott on New Jersey 101.5. Because nobody does Jersey like Jersey.
Jersey. 7:09 on New Jersey 101.5. Good morning. I am Bill Spadia. I want to thank the Bet Parks Online Casino and Sportsbook app for sponsoring New Jersey Chime Time every morning, every hour on the show. So I was talking about the fact that no longer can have a conversation about anything. You know, it's interesting, Eric, that talking about Tom Massey and the impact in New Jersey, in case anyone's wondering why I'm talking about it, the impact is that the Republican Party nationally now has an age crisis. I'm going to call it a crisis. Young people not flocking to the Republican Party, you know, other than a few show things like with Turning Point and the fact that they've been raising money on the death of Charlie Kirk now for a year. But the interesting thing about it is that Charlie Kirk said that Tom Massey was his favorite member of Congress. Charlie Kirk loved the guy. And now you've seen what happens when a guy disagrees with the president. It's amazing to me, Eric, that the full force of the White House, I mean, Pete Hegseth went out there and campaigned. AIPAC spent millions and millions of dollars. And AIPAC, people think, oh, if you are anti-AIPAC, you're somehow anti-Semitic. Now, AIPAC is a terrible institution. I mean, these guys, they don't rate you, just so everyone is clear, on your positions. They buy you so that you will vote on their positions. That's the difference. People don't realize that. AIPAC swoops in and they take a look at who is going to win. And they make it such a valuable offer for the guy that's going to win that they're effectively buying votes. And that's why you've had people questioning whether they should be registered as a foreign agent, which I support. But you can't even mention Israel in any context other than full 100% blind support for whatever policies Netanyahu comes up with, or you are accused of being anti-Semitic. It's really fascinating to me. Right?
A real thing. You know, there's data that supports it. Your point in that we can't have a conversation, and you and I talked, I think, a little bit of off the air about this. I gave a speech to a group last week,
mm-hmm.
and part of that was, and I spoke for about 10 minutes, and it was about just what you're talking about, is that we cannot have a reasoned dialogue anymore, and it's so important that we get back to a point where we can. And, you know, the speech was very well received by the audience, with the exception of one guy who launched into this expletive-filled tirade against Donald Trump. And then a guy at another table was like, look, you just proved his
just
point.
It's the hate and on it, both
and
sides.
And he got mad at me because I wouldn't engage with him. And I said, you're coming from a position of hate. We're not debating policy,
right?
So I'm not going to engage with you.
And that's the point, right? Yeah. All right, it is 7:12. I got to take a break for traffic and weather. But other side, I want to ask you, do you agree that, you know, Eric and I have been talking about this for a long time, we can no longer have a conversation in politics. And the fact that Donald Trump used the power of the White House and his friends at AIPAC to destroy a guy who it may be the only reason the Epstein files got released, I think is super dangerous, and this is why young people are disillusioned. If you're a young voter, where are you turning these days? 1-800-283-101.5 is the number. 7:12 is time. Traffic and weather next.
Fun, laughs, great conversation, and guests you want to hear from. It's 100% Trev. Weeknights on New Jersey 101.5.
7:23 on New Jersey 101.5. I am Bill Spadia. I want to talk about young voters. You know, I really do think that what happened in Kentucky last night should, if it hasn't already, send shockwaves, that you got a bunch of boomers over the age of 65 that are dictating the future of the Republican Party. And just to be blunt about it, like, they don't have the longest future. The future belongs to the 20-somethings and 30-somethings. And unless the Republican Party can appeal to them, they're completely lost. You tell me a young person in New Jersey that can tell you anything the Republicans in this state stand for. You got a bunch of people, these frauds out there, you know, like playing their own game for their own gain. Let's go to Michael on the Turnpike. What's going on, Michael?
How you doing? My name's Michael. I am a 25-year-old union worker. Yeah. And I specifically want to say that a lot of people around my age group are extremely disillusioned with not only the Republican Party, but as well as the Democratic Party.
Yeah.
But I will say one thing is that a lot of people my age, reactionary, just go straight to the Democratic Party because of the failures of the Republican. Now, take me for an example. I consider myself right wing, but even then, I feel like I can't afford to leave my father's house. I can't, like, and essentially we have no pathway out. And I feel that.
Hey, Michael, do me a favor, turn your radio down just a little bit because I hear it in the background.
Sorry about that.
That's all right. So you're living at dad's house. You're making a decent wage as a union worker, right? Would you say you're an iron worker?
No, I am actually an environmental, but I am with Local 94.
All right, so you got a nice union job. You're making some coin, but you can't get out of your dad's house. I understand that, Michael. And my question to you is, did you vote in the last election? Did you vote for Trump, or did you stay out of it?
I stayed out of it for this reason, because, I mean, truth be told, in 2016, you know, Trump's first election, or first election, I couldn't vote because, as I said, I was 16. And so then, you know, 2020 comes around, Biden, you know, comes into office. I remember specifically paying $35 to fill up my tank when Trump's first term was around. Yeah. Then it shot up to around $3 or $4 with Biden.
Yep.
And now, you know, I was like, okay, Trump's going to come back. Probably things will get cheaper and better, but every single possible way, they have not. And a lot of my friends who I would say support Trump have also resigned their support for Trump because of this. Again, we feel like we're trapped and we're stuck.
Yeah. And, you know, it's interesting, Michael, and all Trump wants to talk about is Iran and nuclear weapons. And he is so soured so many young people because he literally said he did not consider the cost of living because he focused exclusively. And I've said this. I'm like, well, you say also, Mr. President, that you've decimated the Iranian government. So can they still make a nuclear weapon? It seems to me like the war's over. We accomplished what we wanted to, but they're still fighting. So what exactly is going on? And unfortunately, can you even trust what the government's telling you? That's part of the problem.
Exactly. Yeah. And I feel like because of that, again, a lot of my friends are abstaining from voting. We're not going to the polls. And I feel like, I mean, truth be told, this is, I guess, the golden, you know, token saying that we have is voting implies consent to a system we do not agree with.
Wow. That's a powerful statement, Michael. I'm going to have to think about that. All right, Michael, thank you. I appreciate the call, and I know you're not alone. So let's put that call out. Are there young people out there? Have you decided to just stop voting? Does it really imply consent to a system that you no longer believe in? That's a very dangerous, dangerous thought. What do you think? And if you're old and you're feeling insulted that I have basically said you'll do whatever Trump tells you to do, I want to hear from you too. 1-800-283-101.5. 727, Eric Scott with the news next. 7:39 on New Jersey 101.5. Good morning. I am Bill Spadia. All right, let's jump right back into it. Bob and Avenel. What's going on, Bob? We're talking about how the Republicans really took a turn for a bad turn last night. What do you think?
Well, I don't know. I mean, everybody blames Trump, and I'm not. Everything begins at the local, county, and state level. In New Jersey, we have a 4% inflation rate. The national average is around 3.3. The same thing goes for unemployment. Highest property taxes in the nation.
Yeah.
The gas tax is the highest.
Yeah.
And why don't people complain and do something at the state level and not, you know, just keep on blaming the federal government?
Well, look,
I don't care who's in office.
Bob, let me answer that first question. That the reason Mikey Sherrill is blaming Trump is because Trump sets himself up as a target, and the Republicans in New Jersey, half of them hate Trump, so they don't do anything about it. Instead, the Republicans in New Jersey are happy that the Democrats blame Trump, because the reality is the Republican Party has been so weak for the past 20 years in this state that they've allowed this to happen. You know, I love when Republicans get all huffy and angry when I mention certain taxes. That idiot in Morris County that gets mad at me and he has even made the hate-o-meter gets all chest out, false bravado that we're not going to allow Mikey Sherrill to raise the sales tax for the FIFA group. And I'm like, are you guys idiots? Where was your opposition to your own party, Governor Christie, Steve Araujo, raising the gas tax and pretending that it was an even trade with a little cut in the sales tax? The truth is, Bob, this has happened on the Republicans' watch and it's happened on the Democrats' watch. You heard Michael, that 25-year-old caller who was just on the line, and he said he doesn't even vote anymore because he doesn't want to provide consent to a system he no longer believes in. That is a big theme among young people. And I'll tell you, Bob, we're in trouble. You're not wrong about anything you said. That the Republican Party, though, has to put up an opposition to the Democrats and make the issue about local, about the economy. I mean, we're all sitting here arguing over a war in Iran when we ought to be talking about the fact that our towns are being crushed by Lakewood style overdevelopment. Right? Bob?
Spending increased by 70%.
Yeah.
Over the past 8 years. That's inflation. Give away all these freebies, somebody's got to pay for it. No such thing as a free lunch.
Bob, I'm with you. But let me ask you this. Do you think the Republican Party in this state has offered any solutions? What is their solution to this problem?
Well, that's the thing. Everybody complains what the other guy does, but nobody offers any solution.
Right. And this is why, you know, we can't have nice things, because when you look at the last race for governor, look at this current race for the U.S. Senate. In the last race, to John Bramnick's credit, and he and I, you know, have I don't know, we haven't talked in a while, and he didn't have the guts to come on the show after the primary was over. But at least John Bramnick talks about issues. I don't agree with him on a lot of them, but at least he was talking about specific issues dealing with motor vehicles, dealing with insurance. You know, I was talking about how we would tactically shut down phase four of high density housing. But the other guy who won was talking about what? Nothing. Trump loves me. Therefore, you got to vote for me. Trump loves me. And then he lost by 15 points.
In my town, the average cost per student to educate will be $29,214.
Yeah, it's
you could send them to Rutgers.
That's exactly right, Bob. You're not wrong. But this is the problem. You still have how many Republicans take a check from the NJEA? I wonder if Tony Bucco is going to cash his check this year from the NJEA and then pretend to be the Republican minority leader in the state Senate. This is the they're hypocrites, Bob. That's the problem.
Of course they are.
It's disgusting.
I mean, okay, I'm 76. Doesn't matter to me. You know, it's going to matter to the young people if they could afford here.
Yep.
If you want the free stuff, keep on voting for the same people. That's all I can say.
Bingo, Bob.
Political insanity.
You're not wrong. Have a good one, man. Good to hear from you. All right. John, Greg, everybody hang in there. You'll be first on the other side of Traffic and Weather next, 745.
Listen live anywhere in New Jersey. Stream New Jersey 101.5 at NewJersey1015.com or on the New Jersey 101.5 app. Jersey's news, talk, and weather. Always with you. Powered by Hackensack Meridian Health.
7:52 on New Jersey 101.5. I am Bill Spadia. So, New Jersey, we are in trouble. I've got another article I want you to read where I call out, and this is going to be posted in the next few minutes on nj1015.com/Bill Spadia, calling out the New Jersey Republicans for their hypocrisy on taxes. They don't mind raising taxes. They just want to do it their way. And the colossal failure that has taken place in this state over the past really 30 years, we had a little blip of reality with Governor Christie, but he couldn't hold it because the Republicans couldn't seem to win enough seats in the legislature to make it sustainable. And here we are. And now you've got the Trenton regime blaming Trump for everything. And you've got Republicans that are enjoying that because they don't want to be blamed for their weakness and their complicit help over the past couple of decades. So here we are. Let's go to Greg in Cream Ridge. Morning, Greg.
Bill, good morning.
Morning.
Listen, you guys are out of control with the national news. Eric just talked about Trump making stock sales. You keep talking about Trump. Look, local news. We got a senator who's a no-show. Where is he? What's he doing? If he worked in the real world, he would have been fired. Greg, hold on.
Let me address that. You're talking about Tom Kane. By the way, Greg, I to my knowledge, I am the only Republican in New Jersey who called out this Tom Kane thing and said that he owes the district an explanation or he should resign. I cannot name one other Republican in New Jersey that made that statement, but I've said it publicly several times. I have talked about it. And look, you can't have your head in the sand, Greg. If the national politics influence the local politics. I wish that weren't the case. I wish we could be on a New Jersey island and shut out all the noise from all the crap and the nonsense. But let me tell you something. We can't because we have an illegal immigration problem. We have an overcrowding housing problem when it comes to high-density housing. Many of these things are because of what's happening around the world. I am struggling through increasing costs on my insurance bills, on my health insurance bills, on my gas bills. Why? Because of the bad decisions being made in Washington. And look, man, both parties are to blame. They're both to blame.
quarter of a mile.
We'll agree to disagree, but...
Wait, you don't think the Republicans have any blame in this?
Yeah, but hammer them with the facts. You said about Kane. Hammer every day. Why is he missing? Bill, why is a politician who we pay for,
yeah,
he's not telling anybody where he is? He should be fired. Forget about everything else. Fire him now.
But
ridiculous.
I agree, Greg, but here's the problem, that Congress protects their own. Think about some of the sleaze bags that Congress is protecting. They're certainly not going to turn on a guy that is most likely suffering a horrible medical condition. We don't know. There are a lot of rumors around, and I don't want to add any credibility to them, but clearly the man is suffering something terrible, and he's a family man, and, you know, he's a friend of mine. I've known him for many, many, many years. Didn't return any text. I know he hasn't heard from a lot of his New Jersey colleagues haven't heard from him. We don't know what happened. But to your point, I would be fired from my job if I abandoned it for 3 days. He's been gone almost 3 months. So I'm with you. He's missed almost 90 votes. It's bad. But to your point, you can't talk about it. It's all intertwined. And that's part of the problem. And I want to see New Jersey lead the way. We should have a Republican Party in this state that brings lawsuit after lawsuit on high-density housing, but they don't do it. We should have a Republican Party in this state that brings lawsuits against the NJEA, but they don't do it because they take money from them. We should have a Republican Party that could stand up for the President of the United States and against all the nonsense and the propaganda that came out of January 6th, but instead we got a three-time loser nominee who hated Donald Trump so much that then he bent the knee because he was so desperate to beat me, and he needed Donald Trump to do it. So when you think about that, it's all about national politics in this state. I agree with you. I have been yelling about this for 10 years now, Greg, that the Republican Party in this state ought to be recruiting and helping and funding and supporting candidates for the Board of Education and commissioner and at every level. But you know what they do instead? They expect blind allegiance, and if you don't go along, they'll sack you, just like Trump did to Massey. They do it to local candidates all the time. That's why Monmouth County is turning blue. That's why Morris County is turning blue. And I've watched this happen firsthand in Mercer County and Camden County. Once it goes blue, it does not come back. We are almost, if we are not already there, at a tipping point where the only thing that's going to matter is the internal battle in the Democratic Party. So, Greg, I'm with you, but I am fighting alongside of you. Please, you listen to the whole show, you're going to hear that I bring it into the local town with every issue, because that's where the fight is. Thank you for calling. I do appreciate your passion. John, you'll be first on the other side of the news next.
Start your day with Bill Spadia. Keep it going with Judy and EJ. Ride home with Dubinsky and more. We're New Jersey 101.5.
8:09 on New Jersey 101.5. Good morning. I am Bill Spadia. I want to thank the Parks Casino for sponsoring New Jersey Chime Time every morning, every hour on the show. Eric, any traction or word on the upcoming June 2nd primary as it pertains to the Senator Cory Booker seat? Have you heard, have any of these guys polled? Do people know there's an election coming up? Have you heard anything?
No, not at all. And I would imagine that nobody will pay attention to this because we've seen this particularly in U.S. Senate races where incumbency is the most important thing in that election, particularly because you haven't had viable Republican candidates in multiple election cycles that have been able to raise enough money or gain enough attention to even, you know, knock out somebody like Bob Menendez, who's serving federal prison time for bribery.
Couldn't make a dent. I think I'm going to make a prediction here. I think that the Republicans are so disorganized, so just non-existent. There is now an open door for a self-funding independent to come in second. I don't believe no matter. I don't think anybody's going to beat Cory Booker. But there is, as I understand it, if you're going to run in the general election, you'd have to file your paperwork by the primary day. Is that right? As an independent?
Yes. Mm-hmm.
So I think, given that it's possible now that you're going to have, and I'm happy to support my friend Justin Murphy. I think he's a really good guy. He was willing to step up, didn't need this crap. Local elected official, you know, guy that he's the only one of the four that actually has a grassroots following. Like, this is a guy that most people haven't heard of, but he'll get 100 people to show up at a rally. It's mm-hmm. like he's got real grassroots support, and I think that this is a good step for him to run. I hope he gets the nomination, but I think that the cabal has got a couple of their favorites, and whether the Doc wins because he's got Lakewood behind him or Zidane wins because he's got Monmouth County and some legislators behind him, remains to be seen, but the Doc and Zidane will lose by 20 points to Booker without even easily. Thinking about it. Yep. Maybe 25.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
So I think the door is open for a self-funding independent who's got some street cred, business cred because I don't right now. The Republicans need the kind of wake-up call that somebody coming in with a couple million bucks can deliver, and you know. Almost think that you could almost consider, could an independent win in this state and then caucus with the Republicans in the Senate once they win? I don't know. It's happened in other states.
It has happened in other states.
Angus King was a governor, senator, had independent.
I just think that in New Jersey, like in a lot of other progressive states, we're kind of teetering on the edge now of becoming a state that is controlled and governed and driven by the socialist wing of the mm-hmm. Democratic Party. Mm-hmm. Because if you look at recent elections, even the special election that was held for Mikey Sherrill's former congressional seat.
What a disaster.
You have a real radical socialist that is holding that seat now and will probably be reelected.
No question.
No
word. I haven't heard from if Joe Hathaway's going to run again? I don't know.
I don't know. I haven't heard that either.
They have until June 2nd, though, right?
Yes. But I think what you're going to... This is part of the conversation that we've been having here for a while, but I think what you're starting to see is much the way that MAGA voters are energized and go to the polls for pro-Trump candidates, even though they may be a minority of registered voters in New Jersey... You're starting to see that same type of progressive enthusiasm from those socialist Democrats that will go out and support their candidate, even though they are still a minority of registered voters.
It's a fantastic point. I would add one caveat to that. I think that in a lot of cases, they're so progressive and so they're not even concerned. They don't even care who the candidate is. It, much like the MAGA voters, they're just told to vote. They don't even peel back the onion. They don't care what they stand for, who they are. If Trump says vote for that guy, they vote for that guy. And if the progressives on all their online social media, like, hey, we got a good one, they go in droves. It's almost disconnected from the person, and it's more about the movement. MAGA has become its own movement. And to your point, these I call them communists. I mean, they're really crossing a line beyond progressive to a real socialist communist mantra that I hear from.
But it's interesting because if you look around separate districts, right? I mean, if you look at some districts, take District 3 in New Jersey for example. You've got Democrats that are serving in that district right now. But you do have some Democrats like Heather Simmons that are part of that Steve Sweeney type Democrat that understand the makeup of their district, one of the few districts that actually does have a good balance of Republicans, Agreed. Democrats. It's a competitive district. And the policies that she has supported, some of the things that she's introduced, the way that she talks, sounds sometimes almost leaning Republican.
Yeah.
In that district. And,
she's someone to watch. I agree.
That's becoming an exception.
Yeah.
Rather than a rule, because there just aren't competitive districts in New Jersey.
Bingo. They're drawn to suit whoever's in charge of drawing them. And that's why you're looking at a map change in New Jersey that could effectively put us down to one Republican member of Congress. And I lived through this when I was in Massachusetts. I was there. I watched it go from 2-0. They've never recovered. I think it happened in 94, never recovered. All right, 816. John, you will be first on the other side of traffic and weather next.
Big Joe Henry is bringing you Jersey's biggest hits and biggest laughs every Saturday and Sunday from 10 to 3. Plus traffic, weather, and all the fun only Big Joe can deliver. Big Joe Henry, weekends on New Jersey 101.5.
A23 on New Jersey 101.5. Good morning. I am Bill Spadia. Hey, we got the hater meter coming up on the other side. But I want you to hear something because it's not something really reported by New Jersey News. But I listened to Congressman Tom Massey's concession speech last night. And a couple things jumped out at me. And I think it's a good lesson for the Republican Party to absorb. Kathy, I want to play the longer one first about the ballroom. This is now Tom Massey, congressman in Kentucky. Trump went on a jihad after this guy. Beat him by about 8,000 votes last night with some propped up fraud, you know, candidate that hated Trump for years, but became a tool of these international lobbyists. But listen, this is what Tom Massey said in his speech.
But listen, I got to watch Fox also for the first time in 18 months. And there was the president talking about, by the way, while gas is almost $5 and diesel's almost $6. They're talking about this big ballroom they're going to build, and it looks like the Roman Empire, architecture from the Roman Empire. I see a few analogies there, and people are just trying to make ends meet. But we were promised that Miriam Adelson would pay for that ballroom, but she's... Hey, she spent so much money in this race, they're going to have to reduce the footprint of that thing.
So that was him referring to billionaire donor Miriam Adelson. And, you know, one issue in this race, it was that Tom Massey did two things that upset the political class, including Trump. And that was he does not support the continued billions of dollars flowing to Israel without any accountability, without questioning, being able to even question Netanyahu. And he supported the release of the Epstein files. And that raised the ire of a lot of people. So these groups came in and he made this comment, which I couldn't believe he made it. But I want you to hear it. This was how he opened his speech.
I would have come out sooner, but I had to call my opponent and concede, and it took a while to find Ed Gowrine in Tel Aviv.
That is Tom Massey making a reference that these pro-Israeli PACs spent tens of millions of dollars. This was almost $40 million congressional race. And I am hearing on the ground that there are a lot of folks saying, you know, wait a minute, why do we have so many billions and billions of tax dollars going to a tiny country in the Middle East without the accountability to the American taxpayer? How does this impact us? How does it help us? And by the way, I'm pro-Israel. I believe they are our strongest ally in the Middle East, and we need to keep that alliance going. However, you reserve the right to question without being called an anti-Semite. And that's what he's pointing out there. And it's a very important point that we need to question everything. I do not think that we should blindly go into any action. I think Massey was right that we needed to call out the president on the war in Iran for how it is progressing and developing. And how do you have this contrast with the big, beautiful bill and the ballroom and the war against Americans who are struggling and suffering. We have hundreds of thousands of American college students who will not get a job after college because Chinese nationals and Indian nationals take those jobs through the H-1B-1 visa program. We have hundreds and hundreds of thousands, if not millions of Americans who will not get a job because millions of illegals will take those manual labor jobs and our guys can't get work. You're going to have millions of American families that are making a decision between medicine and food or abandoning their pets because they can't afford to make ends meet because the cost of living is so high. You're going to have millions of young people saying, I'm not going to go with any health insurance. I'm going to take a risk because I can't afford the premiums. We have a very big crisis in this country, and President Trump is playing a distraction game. Tom Massey called him out on it, and he suffered the political consequences. Now, I don't know what Tom Massey's going to do in the future, but I will keep you posted because I think he would be a fine national candidate. And I think that whether he runs as a Republican or he runs as an independent and creates an opportunity where the Democrats are going to just become the majority party, the Republican Party better wake up. Stop with all the sizzle, with the silliness, with Turning Point, and focus on issues that impact everyday Americans. 829, Eric Scott with the news next.
He's got that ability to raise your hostility. So let's check out the online pleaders on today's Bill Hadometer.
I do love that song. I think just, it, you know, it puts, I notice Eric is smiling now. You're smiling, Thomas. Like, I think it's, you know, Kathy snapping her fingers. It's just, it's amazing how hate can bring so much joy. I love it. All right. So, Thomas, producer Thomas, what do you got for us today?
Well, before we start, I do want to say that we were talking yesterday, and you were questioning, why am I not leaving? This was Tuesday. Why am I not leaving tomorrow on Wednesday? And I told you, I think internally, you know, you had to be here for the Hadometer.
You know, it's a good point. I actually had this question out loud. I'm like, why did I not take Wednesday? I'm flying out in a few hours.
Yeah.
Why am I here today? And I think producer Thomas is right, Eric, that I internally, I've got like an internal mechanism that prevented me from missing a Wednesday. Because I also come back to work on Wednesday.
Yeah.
So I will miss zero. The making of this vacation did not involve the killing of any Hadometer segments.
You're missing a whole week, but no Hadometers.
But no Hadometers.
Wow.
So there you go. All right, let's jump right in. I'm kind of excited about this one. I know you had an overflow. We had a lot.
Yes, we did. I had to kind of pick and choose, but I thought we picked some pretty good ones this
week. All right, let's go. Tell me about the first one.
Yeah, this first one here is William the Doe on X.
On X. William the Doe.
The thinner version of Chris Christie. What a disappointment you turned out to be.
Wow. What do you make of that? I mean, is that real hate? I mean, I don't know. It's like, is he attacking Governor Christie or is he attacking, like, what is the statement there? What is the negative of Christie, that he's a rhino?
Well,
do you think?
I don't know. There could be many reasons. I mean, Christie is hated for a lot of reasons. Clearly, he's not a fan of Chris Christie.
Yeah, I would say
that. And therefore, he's saying you're just a thinner,
version of Chris. So I'm as bad as Chris Christie.
Yeah.
I'm just thinner.
Right.
So in a way, a compliment.
I guess
could I read it that way? I think so. But I'm a disappointment. So I'm fit.
Yeah.
But disappointing nonetheless.
I was going to say, he did kind of call you fit, you know?
Yeah, I'm taking this as a balanced hate. That right. I get a compliment inside an attack. So we're going to go with, I don't know, I give that maybe a 3 out of 5.
Mm. That's a little harsh.
You think?
Yeah.
I would have gone with a 2.
Yeah, right? Because you don't see that. The reason is that Eric doesn't like the little thread of compliment in there. Because it distracts from the overall passion of the hate. All right, let's move on to the next one.
The second one here is Tia Lynn Marie on Facebook.
All right, let's hear it.
If you ever feel bad about yourself, just remember, people believed in Bill Spadia.
Let's break that down. What are your thoughts on that, Eric? Is that meaning if you feel bad about yourself, imagine how all the people that believed in me feel. Is that
right? Yeah. Yeah. They feel worse.
They feel worse. That's the, and if I recall, producer Thomas, this was put in like almost like a meme and like a, it was made like a sign. It wasn't just a statement.
Yes, it was. I do remember.
Like
that.
She basically made a Facebook poster.
Oh yeah, it was a whole thing.
Yeah, I give. I think this could be 4 out of 5. I mean, the creativity that went into it. Like that's a thoughtful. It's almost poetic. She's thinking about it. She's reflecting on it.
I do have a question about this.
Go ahead.
Though, what is she referring to? Is she referring to your race for governor? Or is she referring to maybe a recipe you posted on the website?
It's a valid point. I mean, I did get some complaints.
There's
on
no
my
context behind this.
My meatball statements have really raised some ire with people. So it could be. I don't know. What are your thoughts, Eric? You think it's political?
Yeah, I think it's political.
Yeah, you don't think it's like disappointed because they tune in and like, oh God, I forgot he's terrible. So, all right, I'm gonna go 4 though, because I think the creativity with the use of the colon, where she like stops her, you know, if you ever feel bad about yourself, she's almost like helping people, like don't feel so bad, because there's a Spadia guy out there, so it could always be worse. So I think that was clever, and no cursing, nothing to be bleeped. All right, let's go to the next one.
This third one here is Lewis in Manchester.
Oh, Lewis is back. All right, let's hear it.
You're an ignorant, stupid that will never be a governor of New Jersey. The only place you could be governor is out in Georgia because they pick idiots.
Well, Lewis really thought this one through.
He hates you. He hates Georgia.
Yeah, why does he hate Georgia? Why the hate on Georgia?
Right?
And Georgia's a pretty cool
state. I think it's a cool state. You've got, you know, Atlanta's a thriving place. There's a Republican governor in Georgia. I don't know. Is he saying I should move to Georgia?
Maybe.
I wonder. Yeah. I would say of all the states we hear about New Jerseyans moving to, I never hear Georgia. Do you? Never.
I actually have a couple of friends that have started looking at coastal Georgia.
Really?
Yeah.
Well, like the southern, yeah, okay. Like you're talking about like the Savannah area?
Yeah, yep.
It's beautiful.
It
if
is
you've been
beautiful.
There, Savannah is a great, great city. All right, well, thank you, Lewis. You've got this. If this, you know, if it doesn't work out here, you never know. There's always Georgia.
You can go to Georgia.
All right, let's go to the next one.
This fourth one here is Liam in New Egypt on the app chat.
Sorry, bro. You had me in your corner for the longest time, but you're starting to sound like a butt-hurt, whiny Democrat.
Boy, that's sincere hate.
Mm-hmm.
Right? Like, that's...
That's... Well, but that's somebody who recently started hating, and it's getting deeper.
Yes. The hate is growing.
Yeah.
It's growing like a warmth. Like, you know, like you... like, if you have one of those heated vests that they sell,
yes. Yeah.
And you turn it... Or the heated gloves... Like,
yes.
it's build slow, or a heated seat in your car.
Right.
Yes.
Right. It builds up slowly.
Yeah.
That's right.
That's,
you know, in your car.
That's the Spadia hate is like a heated seat in your car.
Yeah. It starts cold.
Yeah.
And then it just like slowly warms up to temperature. And pretty soon you're like, wow, I feel great. All right. The last one. Let's do it.
This fifth one here is 13 Revelation 22 on X.
That's a lot.
You're kind of a huh? I guess now people know not to bother if you ever want to run and lose again.
Let's play it one more time.
You're kind of a huh? I guess now people know not to bother if you ever want to run and lose again.
Boy, nice emphasis on the again, Eric. I want to compliment the read on that. I think that was very good. Yeah, I don't know. I mean, political, yes, and I like the use of a question in the middle of it.
Yeah.
I thought that was pretty clever. Well, I think this was a nice, comfortable hate-o-meter, and I think I've given everyone an image of how we feel about it, which is that seat warmer that just comes up to temperature, and you're like, ah,
yes.
Thank you. Thanks for playing.
Ability to raise your hostility. So let's check out the online pleaders on today's Bill Hate-O-Meter.
101.5 severe weather alerts deliver fast, accurate, critical updates from Chief Meteorologist Dan Zarrow and the New Jersey 101.5 weather team. Powered by Earth Treasures Jewelers, Ultimate Collision, and Meyer and DePew.
8:53 on New Jersey 101.5. Good morning. I am Bill Spadia. So, we can talk about it on the other side of the hour, but I am finding, I'm seeing this on Facebook, on all other social media platforms, that there is a potentially irreversible rift now in the Republican Party after Donald Trump's antics in Kentucky. And the sad thing is that he shut down a member of Congress who dared to say what a lot of us are thinking. Why do we have this blind loyalty in an ally? Why do we have blind trust in a foreign president in Netanyahu? And why do we tolerate a guy like Benjamin Netanyahu going on 60 Minutes and basically saying, if you don't support the state of Israel, you're an anti-Semite? That's nuts. That's like I get attacked because I don't support Lakewood-style overdevelopment. And I know I'm not alone. But the lot of these Orthodox leaders say, well, you're just anti-Semitic. Well, that's not true or accurate or fair to say. But I don't support overdevelopment. I think it's a problem, whether it's the Orthodox community or it's the illegal community. I mean, whoever it is, overdevelopment is bad. It's called overdevelopment because it's beyond what you ought to be developing. And I don't want to see my tax dollars going to fund foreign governments to the tune of tens and hundreds of billions of dollars while we've got veterans who are homeless, while we have 25-year-olds who are union workers who can't afford to leave dad's house because of the cost of living. Are you kidding me? I'm paying $5,000 for homeowners insurance, and I think it's something like $1,000 a month for my health insurance, some ridiculous number like that. Are you kidding me? How many workers are out there barely getting over $70,000 a year, and you think they can afford to live in New Jersey, yet their tax dollars, half their income that goes to the government, a huge portion of that is funding foreign governments, including Israel? But you're not allowed to question it? Tom Massey was right to say that he had to find his opponent in Tel Aviv last night. He was right to say that. We have to rein in. We have to rein in the fact that we have power brokers on both sides that shut down debate if you question any of their narrative. Guys, we don't have a country if we can't have discourse. We don't have a Republican Party if you can't stand up and say, wait a minute, I want to ask a question about this. Why did the president go back and forth, flip-flop continuously for a year on the Epstein files? It was only Tom Massey that forced their hand to get it out there. So, you know, you need to have questions. It's why this show works. Because if you disagree with me, you go to the top of the list. And that's what we should say. We don't bully people in and out of conversations. We have the conversation. Maybe that's a lesson that Donald Trump ought to be taking. 1-800-283-101.5 is my number. 8:57 is the time. Jen Ursula with your news next.
New Jersey 101.5. Great New Jerseyans talking Jersey stuff. Jump in anytime. Call. App chat. Be a part of it. New Jersey 101.5.
.909 on New Jersey 101.5. I am Bill Spady. I want to thank the Bet Parks Online Casino and Sportsbook app for sponsoring New Jersey Chime Time every morning, every hour on the show. Hey, I want to thank the guys at Big Belly Bagels. They are in Brick on Drum Point Road. And the website is bigbellybagel.com. Check them out. Jen, you live near that?
I live in Brick, yeah.
I know. Are you? Do you know Big Belly Bagels?
I know where they are.
They just brought in a ton of stuff.
Yeah, they're on the other side of me, but yeah. I know exactly where they are, yeah.
Did you know this this kid that was killed, or the driver?
So I don't.
Not to bring you down on a Wednesday, and I'm heading for vacation, but I mean, it happened in your hometown.
It's literally 2 minutes from my house. That was my son's high school. I drive that road every day. And so that literally happened about an hour after I was off that road. So that freaks me out. Yeah.
Yeah. So I
so
know
the kid was what, 17? Like he just got his license.
We don't know his age, but I'm assuming, yes. I'm assuming that's around the age. Yeah.
So sad. I mean, you know, the so
well, that's
what happened?
The driver. The driver was probably about 17. Yeah.
But but the kid that was killed was a junior, right?
I'm hearing a freshman.
Oh, my God.
I
so
don't
what, 15?
Know,
we don't know. They didn't
14,
identify him yet?
14? No, I don't know. And I'm in a lot of groups on...
What are people saying?
I don't know the identity of each one of them. I'm hearing, you know,
I hope we don't
BMW
ever
speeding.
Know that. I let that be resolved locally. We shouldn't know their names.
No, I mean, yeah. I mean, I'm wondering if there's going to be a GoFundMe for the family, of the boy who was, killed, unfortunately. Yeah, very sad. I had a drive on that road coming home yesterday from work, and it was, you know, business as usual because it was all, but it just knowing what happened, it was just very, very, very
because
very
it's two lives sad. Potentially wrecked. And you have to go with the assumption now that this was a terrible, terrible accident. You know, and I mean, we don't know. We have certainly seen situations in the state where things are done on purpose, which is horrible.
I mean, I don't think I don't think these kids set out to.
Right. But assuming this was a terrible accident, the driver is just, I feel for the family.
Literally, you probably have your license, what, a few months? And the first, and you know.
This is the first thing that happens?
Probably, yeah. I mean, they did leave the scene, you know, so that was the big.
Oh, was it they? There were multiple kids in the car?
I believe there was another kid. Well, there is video. There is Ring video circling around of the kids getting out of the car. They left, pulled over.
So they got out of the car, knew what happened, and left.
Well, where they get out of the car is not where the accident happened. So they obviously drove someplace, got out, and assessing the damage of the car. And the damage is very, very bad.
Yeah.
But there are two. There was two, and
they likely be charges.
And left the one of the drivers at the in the Ocean County Juvenile Detention Center. Yeah. I don't know about the passenger because neither one called police, rendered aid.
How do you not call 911? You hit somebody
because they're 17.
Yeah, stupid
and
kids.
And they panic probably.
I'm going to go out on a limb here and say, look, again, we don't know the circumstances.
We do not.
But
no.
I have said this. I think if you once you hit 70 years old, you should be retested to see if you are able to drive. And I think that should be every year after the age of 75. I don't know that anybody over the age of 80 should even have a license, but that's a conversation. And then same thing on the young end. You know, young people's brains, they know this, are not fully developed till they're 25. You could make an argument that you should not be allowed to vote or drive until you're 25. Now, I'm not saying that. I actually think 18 is the age of adulthood. Mm-hmm. However, I don't think you should get a license until you are out of high school and have completed a one-year program your senior year. We do not teach these kids the rules of the road. But that's one half of it. The other half of it is the moral crisis in this country, where there is like a, as long as I get away with it, attitude.
And we do know it was a BMW. We do know they were speeding.
I mean, it's just, I have to say, though, I blame in part the adults, not the parents. I'm not saying mom and dad. I'm saying the adults that run this country look the other way on a lot of stupid things. Mm-hmm. We look the other way when there's an 85-year-old person who's got dementia that's behind the wheel and kills somebody. We then look the other way knowing you've got the roads full of kids that are not qualified to be on that road. And politicians are just afraid to act. They go for the low-hanging fruit. They go for the stupid things. We end up with a state bug or the state candy instead of actually addressing. By the way, I supported the whole state candy and the saltwater taffy.
I know you do.
I support that 100% because of what it did for small business. But you know, I said that a little tongue-in-cheek. But, you know, we've got real issues out there. And, you know, Mikey Sherrill, you can't blame this one on Donald Trump. You're going to have to look deep and say, what are we doing? What are we doing in this state? And how many of these kids are out there on the roads and they're on all kinds of prescriptions? How many of these kids have been so dumbed down by video games and the abortion culture that we have that we don't even value human life anymore? And forgetting of this one incident, because I'm not going to speculate. I don't know what happened. But I know that we are left vulnerable as a society with the bad decisions our politicians make every day. All right. Other side, 914, Robert Pluta, who owns Leonardo's. He's got an event he wants to plug. I want to give him a minute to do that. And then I got to tell you a story when Jill is back about getting in the wrong car in a parking lot. 1-800-283-101.5 is the number. 914 is the time. Traffic with the next.
Spring in New Jersey means real conversations with real New Jerseyans. We're New Jersey, 101.5.
Arrow.
923 on New Jersey 101.5 in the morning. I am Bill Spady. All right, real quick, Robert Pluta from Leonardo's. Hey, Robert, I don't have a lot of time, but you got about a minute. What's coming up?
Yeah, thanks for taking my call, Bill. So on Tuesday the 26th at 6:30, we have Kevin Mooney, who's hails from Ewing Township. He's an investigative journalist who's done hours and hours of research on the climate change movement. And he just published a book entitled Climate Porn, and he is coming to talk about his book and to promote it. And in fact, he's going to be on your radio show in June to do an interview with you. But this is a fascinating topic, and the title is catchy because just as pornography is a distortion of human sexuality, the climate change movement has taken something good. I mean, we all want clean air and clean water, and has twisted it into something perverse, and actually it's counterproductive and does a lot of harm to the environment and harm to human flourishing. So it's a free event. Dinner and drinks will be served. Kevin Mooney hails from Ewing Township. He lives in Washington, D.C. He writes for National Review, but he's written a fascinating book, and we invite everybody to come out to hear what he has to say.
Can they get the book on Amazon?
They can get the book on Amazon, and it also will be available that night. He'll be offering signed copies. Great.
And you're throwing in dinner.
And we're throwing in
dinner. Come on. I love it. All right. Kevin Mooney, the book is Climate Porn. You can get it on Amazon, but I recommend you go. Is it Tuesday night, the 26th? Is that the event?
Tuesday night, the 26th. Yeah.
All right. So right after the Memorial Day holiday, Tuesday night, the 26th at 6 p.m., get to Leonardo's on Business Route 1 in Lawrenceville. I can attest to the quality of the food and the service. And I know Kevin Mooney, he's a very smart guy. You will absolutely be interested to hear his talk on this. So thanks, Robert. Appreciate you.
Thank you.
You take care. You got it. All right. Let's go to Malik in Asbury Park. What do you got, Malik?
Hey, Bill. Good morning.
Morning. I don't have much time, but I wanted to hear your story. You were on 287 yesterday, and almost got into a crash.
Yeah, that accident that happened right before exit 4. And I talked to you yesterday morning about four-wheeler driving.
Yep.
There was a young driver that was two or three cars ahead of me. I'm in back of a Tacoma pickup.
Yep.
And all I seen was they were just flying in the left lane.
Yep.
And they didn't gauge their range fast enough, and they slammed into the car ahead of, in front of them. And the Tacoma, he was doing 60, 65. And luckily, I gave him enough space that when he hit, his back end came up and almost came over the car.
Wow.
Where I literally swerved into the right lane. I braked real quick, and then I swerved. I literally seen his bumper go past my eyes like the Matrix.
Wow.
So slow. And when I was able to get over to the shoulder, I had to pull over to the shoulder for like 5 minutes to catch my bearings to see, did I hit anything? By the grace of the Most High, I didn't hit anything, or it would have been a four-car pileup.
Wow.
Terrible.
Malik, I'm so happy you're okay. You know, it's, look, you're speaking volumes. You were right. You said it yesterday before it happened, that they got to slow down. These kids are not paying attention, and part of it's our fault. We're not teaching them right. You know, we need to do a better job. It should be 1 year of driver training. I think it ought to be expensive, 1 year, and don't let them out until they at least graduate high school, because they're a menace.
I agree.
Yeah, I'm with
you. And, you know, God bless the family that lost their child.
I know, I know.
So unfortunate.
And you watch the video that somebody took, cell phone video, with these two stupid kids that are walking around. You can't imagine. It's bad. It's all going to come out. And we're saying a prayer for the family, for sure. For you too, Malik. Be safe on the roads today. Appreciate you. 927. You too. Jen Ercillo with your news next. 937 on New Jersey 101.5. Good morning. I am Bill Spadia. Wow, I am almost on vacation. I am heading out of here in a few hours. Jen, Jill, Kathy, you guys have to hold down the fort.
We're going
to We're going to miss you guys. We're going to see Elizabeth and Charlie the Butcher.
That's awesome.
And he sent a whole itinerary. So we've got, you know, we've got a couple of restaurants we're hitting, and they're doing a barbecue at their flat. They've got a great outdoor space, and our two good friends are coming with us. Our two couples. So it's six of us. Yeah, it's going to be great.
Are you going to walk around with your backpack on?
Oh, yeah.
Bump into people.
Bring in the backpack.
The stores and stuff.
Yeah, my hat.
Now, does Elizabeth know what segment you need to eat in for the barbecue?
I have briefed everyone on the segments. Thank you. I appreciate that, Jen. I have briefed everyone. They all know exactly what to expect.
And Jody will get into the proper car. Are you renting a car?
No. Elizabeth has her license in the UK, and has become a great driver in London. London is, New York is hard. I love driving in New York. It's chaotic and a little crazy.
Yeah.
London, I wouldn't drive.
No, and Italy was even worse.
Wow.
So
we're, this was during the campaign, and I promised this story yesterday. We ran out of time, so thank you, Jill, for reminding me. I'm running for governor. We've got our good friend Glenn, who's a state trooper, retired trooper. He's driving. Mm-hmm. So when it's just me, it's me and Glenn in the front of my SUV. But when it's me and Jody, which was like 80% of the time, 90% of the time, we sit in the two captain seats behind. So I'm in there. So we get gas.
Oh, no.
And Glenn's driving, and two of us, like two goofballs, a car pulls up next to us, and a woman gets out, and similar looking SUV, dark color. Woman gets out. Same way that Jody got out to go in and use the restroom.
Mm-hmm.
So Jody comes walking out, and Glenn and I don't say, we watch her. We're like we both have this mental, like, where is she going? Boom, right into the other car.
She went into the other car.
She opens the door and gets in. And Glenn and I just kind of looked like neither of us said anything.
You're just laughing and pointing.
We almost had this like, like what's?
Well, what did the driver of the other car
say? Is Jody leaving? Is she going to?
Did you think she had somebody picking her up in another car?
I didn't know what to think.
Well, they were similar looking.
All of a sudden, she jumps out. She comes up. She's like, "We're like, yes, that was the wrong car." So she's like, "Here's what made it worse. There were kids in the car. The dad was driving. The dad turns around. He's like, "Oh, hello."
Oh my God, poor Jody.
Can you imagine how embarrassed?
Clearly, I'm in the wrong car.
It really, really made me laugh.
That's the worst.
Isn't that funny?
My grandmother did it at a mall years ago and got in the car and she's like, oh, and you know, they didn't take the coupon. And then she's like blabbing away and the people in the front seat are just like turning slowly.
What are you doing? Yeah. I love the guy was a good sport though. Like, Jody did not look like she was up to no good. Like, you know, but as innocent looking as he goes,
oh, hello.
It would have been great if they came out at the same time and the other woman came in
Got into our car. Yeah, right. That would have been funny. Anyway, I mean, you can't make it up. But you said Dave almost did that.
He did do it when we were at Bryce. And he was Mr. Narcissist. He said, who doesn't lock their car? I'm like,
he got in because the car was unlocked.
Oh, yeah. The car, he goes, first of all, we had a Chevy. It was a Nissan. Our car was silver. That car was a light blue. I was like,
it wasn't even close. What was he thinking? Dave.
No, it's a rental car. You know?
That's what I was going to say. I give him credit. If it was a rental car.
It was a rental.
I worry about rental cars. When I used to travel, I would lose the rental cars in parking lots all the time.
I can understand
What car I was in. I'm like, I don't remember what car I just rented because I'm not paying attention.
It's hard not to find my car, so I always
your car. You could never mistake.
We should have rented a purple Jeep,
right?
I can't get into a wrong car. It's impossible.
But you did that. I never posted it. Did you send me the new video? I'll do it when I get back.
You'll forget it.
It's a cool video though, because it's basically you did a dash cam with your phone.
Pretty much, I pieced together everything. Yeah. I did a cap. Yeah. I went to CapCut. That's an app, and I pieced everything together. It still came out to 17 minutes.
Wow!
So I had to speed it up. And you were like, he sends me the barf emoji.
I'm like, you just made me car sick.
Can you slow it down?
No, because I know Jill's videos. She doesn't even have to be in a car. They're all over the place.
The videos are. You've got to follow Jill on Instagram. What is your handle?
Facebook. Actually,
is it Facebook? Where did you put that stupid dance? What the hell was that?
The chicken banana?
No, you're doing the Wizard of Oz.
Well, because the Wizard of Oz is at the sphere, and the Tin Man is in this glass, you know, the witch's glass bubble, and he's dancing.
Tried to match it.
It's funny.
But I did, like, something you would do to Jody. I'm like, Dave, just hold the camera, and you know, people are walking by, and he's just like, oh, my God.
Yeah, but you know what, Jill? People were walking by, but it's Vegas. You didn't look any stranger than anybody else in Vegas,
that,
let's face it.
Actually,
on.
Very valid point. How many days in Vegas did you spend?
It was two nights in Vegas. Yeah, Bellagio.
How was the food?
Oh, it was great.
Right,
yeah,
that's what the Bellagio is, a beautiful place.
Yeah, yeah, there was one night, though, we got noodles, and we were like, meh. Yeah, as the kids would say, mid.
Meat and butter.
Meh. And you know,
meat and butter. That's all you should eat.
Oh my God. Why do you bother?
They have a new, it's called Spadia's Tallow Restaurant. It's right next to Bruges restaurant.
Hold on a minute.
You need to open a restaurant.
Speaking of that, Elizabeth was in Spain.
Yeah.
And they serve sushi. She actually said these words. She said, "This was the best meal we've ever had."
Wow.
What?
And she's married to Charlie the Butcher, who's also a chef, and is the head of sales
sushi,
for one of the biggest butcheries in England. She showed me the video. They had this sushi. It was sushi.
Mm-hmm.
But they were...
He's having a moment for himself.
They took the bone marrow. Cut the bones for bone marrow?
Sure, yeah.
With a torch and melted the marrow over... the sushi.
Wait, up your alley.
Oh my God.
He is tearing up as he's telling us.
I just gave myself, I've got chills.
Oh my God, I have chills.
It looked, I'm going to show you the video.
That's sad. He's got
chills.
Well,
we already had to endure the RFK video of how to make tallow, so.
I did show it.
So is it similar?
RFK was taken out of a big tub and frying the turkey, which I thought was impressive.
So.
But the melty marrow.
Oh my God, here we go.
How far is it
from where she lives? Like, how far of a drive, or, I mean...
This is in Spain.
I know.
You could, too far.
So you're not going.
Anyway, Kathy's now indicating that we're way over time, but the marrow deserved a little time of its own. I'm just saying. 9:44, fast traffic, instant weather next.
When severe weather strikes, New Jersey 101.5 is your trusted source, providing critical alerts you can count on. Powered by Earth Treasures Jewelers, Ultimate Collision, and Meyer and DePew.
I am out of time. I am sorry. Kathy, put it in the app chat. Kathy in Columbus has a restaurant recommendation, but there's no time for it. So it is coming up on 9:54. I will be out for the next few days. I'm back with you on Wednesday next week. Have a wonderful long Memorial Day weekend. Remember the sacrifice of our heroes who gave their life so you could enjoy this long weekend. Enjoy the day, the weekend, and I'll see you on Wednesday.